Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NRL every game, every week from a punting perspective. I'm Jacob Wynn. This is the Round 6 preview. Round 5, we went 3-2. We've actually gone 60% on best bets or better every single week, 5 out of 5 weeks so far in the NRL. Yet to hit a big multi, and we lost the mixed matchup. We were actually $1.05 if you bet Parramatta's team total into the second match, but it ended up a 12-12 tie. We've lost 3-1-2 so far in the 5 weeks. In terms of best bets, 14 wins, 8 losses, 64%. I couldn't ask for better than that. And I just want to couple that with a word of warning that not every single week am I going to be able to provide more winners than losers. Simple law of averages, that's just not going to be possible. So just always bet responsible amounts. Anything could happen in footy, but so far so good. And it doesn't stop me from trying. And again, this week I have 5 best bets to share with you guys in just a few seconds on 4 matches, plus a market watch from Tristan from Top Sport and a mixed matchup, of course. Now, just as kind of side note, big world sport event took place on the weekend, the golf, the Masters, and Hideki Matsuyama won. And that shout out to a valued member of the pod family, you know who you are, who was on, I think, 55-1, a big price to win a 5-figure bet. And I was listening to an American sports podcast after the Masters, and they were wrapping it up, and the bloke said, oh yeah, everyone knew that Matsuyama's the best ball striker on the tour, so if he made his putts, he was going to win the Masters. And I'm thinking, what do you mean everyone knew that? I didn't hear you tip that. If everyone knew all this bloke had to do was make a few putts to win the Masters, he wouldn't have been 55-1. I absolutely hate sports podcasts that tell you after the result how obvious it was that something was going to happen. I created this pod along with Alex, trying to be that pod that can tell you what's going to happen before it happens. That's a lot harder to do, but we give it a shot. We don't want to be coming here afterwards saying, oh yeah, this was obvious, that was obvious. If it was obvious, we'd all be driving Lambos, we'd all be living in the Maldives. But let's give it a crack anyway. Let's try and find some value. And straight off the bat, I've got 2 best bets in the Broncos Panthers game to open round 6, and they're both on the Broncos. So hear me out. The 2 best bets are Brisbane Broncos first half team total over 0.5 points at $1.95 on Bet365. And the second one is Brisbane Broncos second half team total over 2.5 points at $2.03 on Top Sport. Now on the graphic, you'll see that's $2.08. That's because you get a top-up button once a day on Top Sport, on any sports market. You can have up to $500 on a sports market and use the top-up and get boosted odds. I've got that on the screen, but I'll count the price as I do every week on the regular odds. So $2.03 is what I'll grade it at. If you're getting the top-up on some of these best bets, that's a little bonus for you. You can also back these on Sportsbet, Ladbrokes, Neds. They're more in the $1.85, $1.90 range. Now, my simple theory, which worked well for us last week with the Bulldogs against the Storm, these massive underdogs, which Brisbane are, they're a 28.5 point underdog, they have no chance whatsoever getting near their opponent if they can't score themselves. If these teams, when they do get their small openings, if they don't score, it's always coming back the other way and scoring. So with the new rules, these games are more open. Even bad teams get momentum for periods. I certainly know how good Penrith are defensively. I haven't bet against them all year so far this season. They're 5-0 against the spread. If they keep Brisbane to nil, we're going to go 0-2 in this bet. But I think there's a fair chance Brisbane will score in at least one of the halves. We go 1-1 and basically break even. And I actually think we've got a better chance Brisbane can score in each half and we can go 2-0. Now, Brisbane have been made to look really awful in the last couple of weeks. They have played at the Storm and at the Bunnies. So any team is going to look bad when you play those sides if you're not one of the heavyweights in the comp. The biggest issue Brisbane has actually is they can't sustain 80-minute performances. To win these bets, they don't have to. Panthers could run amok in Brisbane, but Brisbane could still just have a moment in each half. Moving on to Friday, I've got a best bet, the Knights -1 at $2. It's available on Ladbrokes and Neds against the Sharks. And to give you an insight into my routine, once I've done my full deep dive, I have a rough idea of which sides I like or strongly like by about 2 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon. I still don't even look for best bets, because I know the markets can still potentially move. I don't look for best bets till last minute when I'm literally about to record. And I had a best bet literally change in front of my eyes. Could have got the Knights plus half a point in the first half. And I was going to come on here and say, I predict this game's going to be a flip favorite. Knights will be favorite by the time the game kicks off on Friday. And then before my eyes, it shifted. Knights became a -0.5 point first half favorite. And Knights are now favorites across the board. And that's unfortunate. I still think they're going to get the job done here. They regain Bradman Best from injury. Kurt Mann is back. Jacob Saifidi, while Cronulla loses Wade Graham. They lose Dugan. All the turmoil, which I'll get more into in the full breakdown. The Knights are off three straight defeats, including two bad losses at home as big favourites. Ponga looked in fine touch when he came back last week. I think the Knights will be too good in this one. Best bet, -1 at $2. Then I'm taking Manly playing the Titans in Mudgee, +6.5, $1.90 on Ladbrokes and Ned's, next best $1.86 on Sportsbet. Look, a gutsy win for Manly last week. I think that does them the world of good, as does the return of Tommy Turbo in my eyes. Not only such an upgrade bringing him in over Walker, he elevates players around him. Now, I look at these teams up and down. I really think with Turbo back, Manly has a similar level backline and similar level halves. And no doubt the Titans have the far stronger forward pack, and if they win, it'll be on the back of their big men. I just don't know if the difference is that much. Considering neutral venue, if anything, more Manly fans, I'm willing to bet that Manly can keep this one at least close and potentially even spring the upset. So Manly +6.5, $1.90. And finally, the last game of the round, I'm taking the Bulldogs +6.5, $1.91 on Bet365. Next best, $1.90 on Top Sport. You may see $1.95 on Top Sport. That's if you hit the top up, but best price, a regular price, $1.91. And we've seen a few winless teams really come in desperate and come in with a big performance and their best performance of the season. And that was Manly last week, and that was the Cowboys themselves last week. And that leaves the Bulldogs as the only team yet to win in 2021. And I think this could be the game they could win or at least go close. Now, what might scare you off it is the Cowboys actually looked decent last weekend. Taumalolo comes back in. But the Bulldogs actually showed signs of improvement last week. They got Thompson, Watene Selezniak, and Averillo back in the side, looked better. I look across the park again and I don't see any particular units that are far superior for the Cowboys. Therefore, I don't think the Cowboys are going to be way too good, and we get a nice head start with over a converted try. That's a best bet on the Bulldogs. Now, before I get into my full breakdown of all eight matches from a punting perspective, a little more detail to back up those best bets on those matches, and of course, a look at the matches I haven't mentioned, let's check in with Tristan from Top Sport. Top Sport kindly sponsored the show. They provide us our mixed matchup. They also provide us a market update. So Tristan's going to give a word on how the bookies went last weekend, as well as some market insights into round six.
G'day Tripod family, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We had an interesting weekend last weekend where there are a few upsets which haven't been too common practice in the rugby league to start the season. The Sunday games in particular, where the Cowboys got a result against the Tigers, where the Tigers were backed off the mat. There were a lot of multis running through the Tigers and the line shifted from 10 flat to 14 flat. So that was a result that the punters were a bit disappointed. The Tigers didn't quite show up in Tommy's big game. The other game that was an interesting one that had a lot of multis running through it as well were the Roosters against the Sharks, where it looked like the Sharkies had done enough with about 20 minutes to go. That line actually shifted from 6.5 to 10, and we laid a good chunk on the plus at the 10 flat. So when not only the Roosters came back and won that game, they also fell in that sort of ugly little split, which wasn't much fun. There were a couple of lopsided games. The Bunnies and the Melbourne and the Storm both covered these lines pretty comfortably. That's been pretty common throughout the season, so it'll be interesting how these lines start to shift as we get deeper into the season. One of the teams that's been a really big surprise packet this year are the Dragons. I think after the Charity Shield took place, I don't think anyone would have expected the Dragons to be $1.50 in any game in the first 10 rounds of the season, but they've been very good the last few weeks, particularly against the Eels, where that was a real acid test, where they took on a team that were high-flying and they beat them all ends up. So it'll be interesting how they progress now. It's going to be an interesting game here against the Warriors, where they have have expectation on their back. So I reckon if this game was even two or three weekends ago, not just at the start of the season, this game's probably picking. But the Warriors obviously losing Adam Fanua Blake and the Dragons in pretty good form, it puts the Dragons in as a try favourite. The other team that's had a bit of a change in fortune in the last week are Manly. They had a good win last weekend, or a win where they get a little bit of confidence back. It probably wasn't the greatest game in terms of quality, but they've got Turbo back too. So they're playing a pretty hot team in the Titans. The line's around about the 6-point mark here. I think if they hadn't have won last week and Turbo wasn't back, then I reckon the line would have been around about 10 flat this weekend. So certainly a few things moving in Manly's direction. They've got to aim up though, because the Titans have shown they can put a few points on if they get the opportunity. As we touched on, there's two lopsided games again this weekend. The first one on Thursday night is the Panthers against the Broncos. the line there's 27.5. I don't think the market's quite caught up to these heavy favourites at this stage. It's difficult to work out exactly where you place the line, and nearly every game we're seeing support for the favourites in the early part of betting, and they've been covering more often than not. Probably the Broncos are the slight exception to the rule compared to the other teams like the Bulldogs and that. So the other interesting one this weekend is the Tigers being very, very big underdogs. Probably a weekend ago, they were, you know, a chance of making a little push towards the top eight, but obviously that's all changed. So they're at the 18.5 point line at the moment, which they're probably in a slightly different tier to the other teams that have been up near that 20-point handicap. So we'll see how that one plays out. All right, punters, good luck. Enjoy the weekend, and as always, gamble responsibly.
Hey, let's look a little deeper into round six, and let's begin with the Broncos hosting the Panthers. The Panthers are a minus 28.5 point favourite. I'll repeat my best bets. Broncos over half a point in the first half. Broncos over 2.5 points in the second half. The beauty of that as well is obviously an early penalty goal we could instantly cash in the first half, and Broncos could finish with 2 points in the first half. By the second half, by the time that rolls around, it's so much less likely Brisbane will score a penalty goal or kick a field goal in the second half, because I don't think they're going to be that close. So I'm willing to play the over 2.5 points, essentially betting that Brisbane will score a meat pie in the second half. Now, to set the table, MILF has been dropped, as has Tessie New. You know, just a side note on MILF, I think 7 or 8 years ago, watching him go around for the Raiders, the amount of talent that this kid had, I'll be honest, I watched him and said, wow, that's Queensland's next 5'8" when Jonathan Thurston retires. This kid has got that much talent. And to be fair, 2015, after he'd moved to the Broncos, he wins the Clive Churchill and it wins the grand final if Brisbane survives that final play of the match. And you look now, it's just a fall from grace. And what's gone wrong? I don't know if his body has let him down a little bit. He doesn't have that same explosiveness. I don't know if the work ethic isn't there. But I've watched him in games float in and out, not look committed. And I completely understand why they've had to make this bold decision. Kevy was supposed to come in and revitalize MILF's career, but there's only, you know, he's been given 5 rounds worth of chances and hasn't cemented that jersey. So it's going to be Croft and Dearden in the halves together. They also get back Patrick Carrigan, and from sounds of things, Corey Oates will come into the team. He wasn't originally named on the wing, but Jesse Arthur's with illness, Oates comes back, but that's a pretty capable replacement there. The Panthers have the luxury of going 1-17, the same side that's been flogging everybody the last few weeks, even since they lost Edwards and Coruscant, still very dangerous. We saw them beat Raiders by 20 points last week. Now, no bottom four side has covered a game against the top four side this year, and I think Tristan alluded to it as well. Teams of a minus 18 points or higher, handicap a 5-0. But I have to say I would lean to the Broncos at 28.5 at home, just because they've gotten a couple of decent forwards back in this team, and I still have some belief that this team is not going to just quit. I think they've got resilience issues, certainly in games when the going gets tough, but that's why I prefer to play these best bets as I am, with just find a try somewhere in each half. You don't even have to be that good, as we've seen some of the bad teams in the competition score breakaway tries, or as I've spoken about before, you can so easily score a try for a deflected kick or a drop bomb or something like that. Talked about how Brisbane, yeah, they've been smoked the last 2 weeks. They've also played two absolute gun sides, and Penrith are as well. And Penrith certainly are the kind of team that can run up the score, and maybe they do, and maybe we get a similar score to the Bulldogs Storm scenario. That would still be okay for the best bets. Moving to Friday, so Knights, Sharks, and I want to also mention, so this game's pick'em, or basically the Knights have flipped into favouritism just as I was about to record now. But on Monday, you could get Knights plus 4.5 at $2. And we've got quite a few gun NRL tipsters in the pod group who are finding this early value, and I just don't touch it, because even if I go to the effort of finding these plays, looking around, verifying all the information and saying, yeah, I really think that's a solid play. If I post an NRL play on a Monday, just find from experience, that market moves so quickly that so few people reckon they can get onto it that it's just not even worth it. But I'm stoked to see there are still several members of the group who are benefiting from sharing these kind of plays with each other. And yeah, would I love to have Knights 4.5? Here I am giving a best bet minus the one. I still think that's a solid play at $2. Talked about the returns for the Knights, best man and Saifidi, while best man, there you go. While the Sharks lose their captain, Wade Graham, they lost him earlier against the Roosters and Dugan as well. They do regain Nakora and Talakai comes into this side. He's finally back to full fitness. So the Knights, they started this season 2-0, then they've lost three in a row, including losing at home to the Tigers, losing to the Dragons, and last week having over 40 put on by the Titans. But I think they're not going to be kicking stones and be miserable. I think that they've got the confidence that they can come in at home and put up a massive performance, and I believe they will win this one. Now, my thoughts on the Johnny Morris saga, I'm sure you've heard all about it. I've certainly said several times across the pods over the last year or two, I think he's done a stellar job. I don't know many coaches who could have done much better with the situation that's been presented to John Morris over the last two and a little bit seasons. So I think he has been treated very unfairly. But if you do recall him getting that job, it was quite swift. He was meant to be an assistant coach. Flanagan got suspended. Basically, he just kind of got appointed head coach on very short notice, and that's not his fault, and that makes it even more impressive what he was still able to achieve with the team. Made the eight both years, had a lot of injuries, had a lot of cap limitations, but basically it's clear he was never the first choice for the Sharks board. They obviously believe that while he's a good coach and he's getting a good amount out of the squad, that they think to get to the top level you need to have an elite coach, and in their opinion Craig Fitzgibbon could be that solution. So I think it's just an ugly situation, and it's really unfortunate and unfair for Johnny Morris, because you're saying, like, what more could he have really done? If there are people criticizing him, I think they've had a really poor record against the top sides, and the defense hasn't been great, and Fitzgibbon renowned for being a defensive-minded coach. So long-term, Sharks fans might not be too upset about this move. I think it's just an ugly situation, and it's not one of those situations where you want to bet on a team that's going to have a new coach. Like, yes, the Sharks could, in theory, lift in this game because they want to impress the interim coach. They want to all make sure their spot is secure for the rest of 2021. They're not really thinking 2022. But on the other hand, how's the Sharkies players' headspace? By all accounts, they're big supporters of Johnny Morris. Like, how are they feeling about how this has all been handled? How's their preparation been? He's literally been stood down midweek. Whereas I know what I'm getting out of the Knights. That's why I'm taking them. And I don't know if I said this at the top, but yeah, it was a flipped favorite. I literally had the best bet of plus half a point in the first half with the Knights $1.88. I like playing that in a game that's like at best a coin flip, and you're getting that half point. Wasn't to be, because the odds changed before I could record this. So I'm still confident enough that I think the Knights win the game outright. So the best bet minus one at $2. Next game should be an interesting one. The Storm play the Roosters, and the Roosters are an 8.5-point underdog. Pretty big line down at Amy Park. These two teams just have a history of playing some absolute barn burners. In fact, last year the Storm beat the Roosters twice, including the game I thought was game of the season down at Suncorp. And that was without Cameron Munster. And then they bullied him again at the SCG, and I don't think they even had Munster in that one either. Of course, Storm went on to win the comp, and the Roosters won the two comps before that, and they've got this kind of epic rivalry. And the Storm comes into this one unchanged. They've essentially had two training runs when you look back to last week, Dogs, the week before, Broncos. They've been able to incorporate Harry Grant. Pappenhausen is on absolute fire, and you've got him coming up against Tedesco now, who we saw out-duel Roger a couple of weeks ago. And now he gets to face up against the man who's kind of challenging him for the Blues number one jersey. I still think Teddy deserves it. He's the incumbent. He has not done anything wrong. In fact, he's been outstanding for the Blues. But that's the form of Pappenhausen that he's making it a discussion. And even I have suggested that I'd probably try and fit them both in the back line. And Pappenhausen, I don't think can play other positions in the back line as well as maybe Teddy. So even I would consider playing Pappenhausen at one, Tedesco at right center. We know he's still deadly on the right. But let me know what you guys think about that. The Roosters will find it tough in this one, though. They've lost their third string hooker in Joey Lussick with a broken arm. So Marshke, who avoided suspension, comes in as the fourth string hooker. They do get a little bit of relief with Adam Kieran onto the bench. He covers outside backs. I think he's even played in the halves before, and then maybe a Drew Hutchison can play a little bit of dummy half as well. Now, after I backed the Storm in round one, and that worked out really well, beating the Rabbitohs in a game a lot of people didn't expect, I've then opposed the Storm the last 4 weeks, and I did win best bets in three of those and lost the game where I was on the Broncos. So I don't really want to keep opposing the Storm, even though this line seems high. But I could only play Roosters with a line above 8, knowing the history these teams have and knowing what a classy outfit the Roosters still are. I look at the kind of how the units match up. Even with Dale Finucane out, I think the Storm probably has the slightly better forward pack. Of course, the Roosters are, you know, missing guys like Boyd Cordner as well, as they will be for quite a few more weeks. Then in the halves, clearly the edge is to the Storm, in notwithstanding the form of Walker. But then you look at the outside backs, you've got to give the edge to the Roosters and then the stars that they've got in their outside backs. So I think that Sydney Roosters are a smart enough team to come in with a high variance game plan, take some risks, push some offloads, because they know that they're going to have to nail a couple of opportunities to pull the upset here. But it could also backfire. You take those extra risks and you end up chasing the game. And of course, they came back last week against the Sharks side that had a couple of key players out. That's a different proposition to coming back against the Storm if they find themselves down. So I'd love to see an entertaining game, but there's no guarantee of that. The Storm could also be too good. I'm passing it. I didn't have a best bet on that one. But I do have a best bet on Manly playing the Titans in Mudgee. The line is 6.5, Gold Coast favourite, and as I said at the top, I'm taking Manly plus 6.5, $1.90. So Turbo's back, Cade Cust is also back, which is a boost. They lose Walker, but it's a straight swap there with Tommy Trbojevic. They also lose Jake Gajetski. And the Titans have named the same 17, but Sammy has to pass a HIA. He could be out. Remember, they're also missing Anthony Don now. Funnily enough, Turbo came back from injury last year against the Titans, and it looked promising for Manly. I think at the time, Manly still had a chance of making a late push to the finals. Instead, it was the Titans who thumped him in that game, and Turbo got re-injured, so it was a nightmare. And that was part of that final five-game winning streak that the Titans closed the 2020 season on. So somewhat of an ambush a year ago, whereas Titans aren't sneaking up on anybody now. How many did they score last week? 46 points. I think Manly's going to be ready for them. I think it's going to be a great game, and I like Manly with the points. Later on Saturday, the Rabbitohs host the Tigers, and the line is 18.5. Cody Walker returns for the Bunnies. Little has been dropped, and Simpkin comes in at dummy half for the Tigers. Kapoa is back, so BJ Lailua is dropped again. And in the wake of the passing of Tommy Radonikis, to be playing at Leichhardt in front of a big crowd and come out and be blown off the park 28-6 is a disgrace and kind of like a rock bottom moment for the Tigers. And yeah, they did mount a comeback of sorts in the second half, but it was ultimately too little too late. Now, had the Tigers come back and won last week, you could say they would have redeemed that awful first half, but they didn't. And they're pretty ashamed of that performance, and people are calling for changes, and clearly they got to change something. That game last Sunday was actually the biggest upset of the season. They started that game minus 14.5 point favourites because Taumalolo was scratched, Maguire was scratched, and the Cowboys hadn't been much chop up until Sunday afternoon where the Tigers actually made them look good. So there's a problem with this one for the Tigers is they might be really determined to bounce back, but they could come into this one and play their best and play their A game. And if they meet the Bunnies' A game, the Bunnies will still beat them 13+. So if you look at South Sydney, they got torched in the first half of the opening game of the year against the Storm. And since then, they've been pretty much excellent every match. And they're going to be a really big problem for the West. And I just look at defensively, can the Tigers handle the Rabbitohs? I mean, they let in 34 points last week. You've got Jimmy the Jet in the centres, but he's not a Jet anymore. He's actually not that fast. If you saw, I know Hamisau Tabuai-Thedoa is no slouch, but Jimmy the Jet stopped even bothering chasing, and Tabuai-Thedoa had to kick ahead and regather. And yeah, Jimmy the Jet's just hasn't got the same speed. You've got Kapoa and Talau on one side together. That's a very young centre wing combo. Even Offengawi, traditionally, has always played in the middle, is now playing on an edge. And Dane Lowry is excellent in attack, but still very, very inexperienced in defensive organisation. You've got Luke Brooks, who's been a liability. Geez, that's a frightening proposition for the Tigers to have to stop this Rabbitohs attack. I won't be on the Tigers, but I don't think we're getting value laying the points with the Rabbitohs because everyone knows how much better they are. Now we've got three quality games to end the round six, and that begins with the night game Saturday night. Raiders-Eels in Canberra, and the Eels are a 2.5 point underdog. The Raiders lose Nickell Klukstad. Could be a couple of months. I think he had an HIA, but there's a neck injury there as well, serious one. Caleb Akins slots into fullback. Ryan James rested. Curtis Scott is in for Sebastian Chris. Hodgson had a hip injury, but has been named. While the Eels lose Brown to suspension, Will Smith will come in and play six. Madison, for the third straight week, has been named, but was scratched the previous 2 weeks. So I would say he should be back from his concussion issues, but you can't be certain. Some interesting stats, and I take these with a grain of salt, but I'll say them because I don't want to act like I'm not acknowledging them. Eels haven't won in Canberra for 15 years. They haven't scored a point in Canberra the last two times they've played there. They'll score a point, and this will be a lot closer, I'll tell you that. I'll be willing to bet on that. In fact, last year, these two teams played at Wank Best. Yes, even when we don't have a game, I'm still going to get that name in there. And it went to Golden Point, 25-24. And I could see this matchup being something similar. I think the forward battle is going to be epic, because especially if Maddo plays. I think Parramatta's forward pack is awesome. I know that they got staunched and they got punched in the mouth by the Dragons. I think, if anything, they underestimated them and they just got flustered getting behind. I still know how good Paris pack is, but hey, so is the Raiders pack, so that's going to be a hell of a battle. You've got to give the edge to the Raiders halves behind a guy like Jack White. But then I like the Eels outside backs. You know, I looking closely, and I've always loved Jordan Rapana, but his best years are behind him, and so are Jared Croker's, to be honest. I don't know if it's just me. He doesn't impress me. He used to be a guy who would be in the conversation, fringe New South Wales centres, a guy who won't let you down. I know he's the vice captain or co-captain of the Raiders. He just never seems to be one of their best. And I know he's one of those guys who does the little things you don't see, but he's also had a few errors in his game and missed tackles. And you want your captain to be one of your better players that stars for you every week. I just don't see it out of Crocus. I'm just questioning, like, is everything sweet with his body and the way that he's playing? I don't see him as a player who scares me. So ultimately, I give the edge and the edge in the matchups to the Eels. I think they're the slightly better team, even though they lost last week and they got, you know, upset. But let's acknowledge also this game's in Canberra and the Raiders are more rested. They're coming off a Friday game while the Eels played Sunday. So you boil it all down, I think it's close to a 50-50. Maybe the Raiders deserve slight favoritism. You can get Eels plus 2.5. You can even get Eels plus 4 on Top Sport. I just can't quite get there. I just don't see enough value. If this line was, say, 4.5, I'm probably on the Eels. So those are the margins that we're dealing with to try and find an edge. So it's certainly strong lean to Eels, but not the confidence to make it a best bet. I could see this game going either way. And you can have a game that's super close for 70, 75 minutes and still not cover 2.5. So I just couldn't quite get over the line with the best bet for the Eels. But let me know what you guys think about this game. It has the potential to be the match of the round. Moving to Sunday, another interesting one. Dragons host the Warriors, and the Dragons are a 5.5-point favorite. And Tristan spoke about how not many would have foreseen Dragons being a converted try or thereabouts favorite. And they come into this game unchanged from the win against the Eels, although the possibility Josh Maguire, who's now joined this squad, could slot onto the bench. I'm going to give a shout out to another NRL podcast. There's a podcast called Fifth and Last, and look, there's many NRL podcasts out there that talk about the footy, and as you know, this one, I try and be different. I don't know as much about footy as so many other people out there. I try and keep it short and sharp and to a punting context, something I know a lot about. But if you're looking for a pod that's longer, that's more in-depth, I really rate the knowledge of Brock and Lewis on that one, and I enjoy listening to that when I can. And this is an organic plug. They haven't asked me. They probably don't even know about me or bringing this up. But they made a really great point about the Dragons that I was listening to that I wanted to share. So I want to give them credit for that. And one reason the Dragons have exceeded expectations, and I talked a bit about the Dragons in the recap pod, and I was certainly surprised by that performance on Sunday night. But look at the guys they've brought into this team without having to count their full salary against the salary cap, because the previous club is paying some of the freight. You've got Andrew McCulloch, Jack Bird, Daniel Alvaro, now Josh Maguire. That's nearly $1 million worth of cap of players playing for them which is being paid by other clubs. That has helped them bolster this team and help compensate for the loss of McInnes and, in the short term, the loss of Ben Hunt. And that just gives this team a little bit more depth that we would have questioned whether they would have coming into this year. Plus, they're playing extremely tough. They fight for everything every week. And I could just think, yeah, a lot of people have been asking me as well about the Dragons. Do you think they're going to make the eight now? And I did give out a preseason multi, and one of my legs was Dragons to miss the eight, which I thought was very safe. Now here they are, definitely turned their form around, 1-4 in a row. They've got a favourable draw, and from what I've heard, you can bet at about $2.25 for them to make the eight. My opinion on that right now is I still believe there's seven sides that'll finish higher than them. The big six that I think you guys all know about, same top six as last year, and the Titans, I'll put them in, as I'd be very surprised if they don't make the eight. That really only leaves one spot left in the eight. So who's going to get that spot? It certainly could be the Dragons. The Knights are going to be in the mix. Let's see what happens with Cronulla. You still got to put them in there. And their opponent, the Dragons' opponent on Sunday, New Zealand. So that makes this a big game. Let's talk about New Zealand. Eli Katoa is out. Fusitua is out. They get back Hiku and Afoa. They had a tough loss against Manly. That game really could have gone either way. They had a 6-point lead. They had attacking opportunities. They couldn't ice this game. I could see this one being close, but at the same time, I just don't know how strong the Warriors really are. Adam Fanua-Blake's a big loss. Harris Tavita's a big loss. So is Katoa and Fusitua this week. And, you know, that win by the Warriors over the Raiders is starting to look a little bit more fluky every week, just because we know everything that went wrong for the Raiders that game, and we've seen what New Zealand has done subsequently. So I think I'm going to annoy people by staying away from this one, because funnily enough, I have not had a best bet on the Dragons all season, and I have not had a best bet on the Warriors all season. Now they play each other, and I think the bookies have got the line about right. I could see it being a good game. I could see New Zealand getting the upset. I could also see the Dragons winning this one by six or more. Not enough confidence for a best bet. We move to the final game of the round, where, as you know, I do have the confidence for a best bet with the Bulldogs plus 6.5 in North Queensland. Even though Taumalolo returns, and that's obviously a huge upgrade on their forward pack, they lose the Hammer. The Dogs, they clearly, as I said at the top, improved a lot with those reinforcements getting back in the team, particularly Thompson to the forward pack. And Wateni Zalesniak adds a bit more punch at fullback position, and then Corey Allen is slotted into centres. I actually think, arguably, with Hammer out, the Dogs have the better outside backs. And then it's a debate, I think, over which team has better halves. And you probably say the Cows have the better forward pack, considering Taumalolo back, and the fact that Josh Jackson had a torn calf at training. But I think it's close. So really, I've got a desperate Bulldogs team that I don't think is outclassed or overmatched by the Cowboys. Yeah, it's a road game, which, you know, slightly swings the pendulum against them. But catching over 6 points, I got to do it. That's my best bet. Plus $6.50, $1.91 on Bet365. I do also have the mixed matchup to share, which I will utilize this match for. And one thing to note, this is the final match of the round, but it's not a night match. It's actually, they've moved the Sunday slate a few hours earlier, so it's like a 2 p.m., 4 p.m. Sunday slate. And I like that because they're going to be taking the Bulldogs to outscore somebody in round six in the mixed matchup this week. And I like the fact they're playing here in a day game against a Cowboys team that's not that great defensively. They got a little bit of confidence with, you know, a couple or three tries, in fact, against the Storm last week. And I spoke about how these weapons that they've got back in the team help somewhat. And I think we can get a few points out of the Dogs, enough to outscore the Sharks, who, as you know, I've got a best bet against on Friday night. And I like playing unders on teams against the Knights, because I think they are a little bit underrated in terms of how good defensively they are. And that game is in Newcastle. Should be tight night game. And I think the Knights win. So I'm looking at the Knights to keep Cronulla under 20 points in this one. And we are a bit of an underdog in this matchup. Taking the Bulldogs to outscore anybody ain't going to be a sure thing. But we get $3 this week. $3 for the Bulldogs to score more than the Sharks. Interesting note, if you want to, I don't know, assess my mixed matchup results so far, 2-3 is not good. But if you bet all the teams I've gone on in the five rounds, you'd be 3-2 on their team total. And if you bet the unders on the five teams I've gone against in the last five rounds, you'd be 5-0. So I'm 8-2 on trying to pick favorable spots on teams to score high or low. It just hasn't worked out perfectly for us with the matchups, because we've had two occasions where it's been tied, and we might have been on the right side of the value, but not enough to get over the line, especially that week where we had a $3.50 bet lose on a tie. But in the long run, so many weeks left this season, I still think we can do well with some good value in this market. And that's my favourite value matchup for this week. Dogs to outscore Sharks at $3 on Top Sport. And the max stake for this one's only going to be 100. When we get one that pays $3 or more, it'll be a max 100. If it's under $3, it'll be max 200. If you need Top Sport account, you can get one with the promo code TRIPOD. And that's going to wrap the round, guys. That's my take and my five best bets. Please let me know what you think of each of the games. Are there any other great bets out there that's sticking out to you, or any of my best bets you really don't like? I really actually love to hear people's contrary opinions before the games play out, whereas somehow after the games, people love to tell me that they didn't like a bet once it lost. But I really appreciate all your feedback and all your thoughts, and I appreciate you guys for tuning in. So good luck if you do jump on any of these or just on your own punts. Remember, as always, in the long term with punting, it's really hard to win. It's really easy to lose. As always, gamble responsibly. Lego!